Good morning, everyone. Good morning. The meeting of the Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Members, we have the minutes of the April 24th meeting before us. Would anyone like to move the minutes? Representative Carlson moves the minutes. Any corrections, additions, changes to the minutes? See none. All in favor of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, today what we had posted was only one item of business, which was the agriculture bill. But I've talked to Representative Carlson, and in a little bit when we have an amendment, I'd like to take up a second item of business, which is raising the budget resolution target for the Agriculture Finance Committee by $6,283,000. You'll recall that we had originally delayed this bill a while ago, pending more information on the avian flu crisis. And when I finally talked to Representative Hamilton a couple days ago, we just concluded we couldn't wait any longer and needed to get going. Well, late yesterday, we received a communication from MMB, which I believe that you all have, asking for additional money for the Department of Agriculture. And we don't actually have the language yet for this, but what I'd like to do is to raise the budget resolution target by the amount of additional money we'd need to fully fund this, with the expectation that then when we get to Rules Committee, which will be the next stop for this bill, or the floor, that we'll have the language we need that we can put in place and give the Department of Agriculture the additional money they need to respond to the avian flu crisis. I talked to Representative Carlson about that this morning, and I think it's fair to say that he's okay with that. I don't have the formal amendment yet, so I won't bring that forward at the moment. We'll bring it forward in a little while when we have it. But I just wanted to bring that to members' attention, and I'd certainly take any questions on it. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand the need to bring this $6 million forward, but I am looking at the sheet that has been handed out, and there are other departments, health, natural resources, public safety, that are also incurring costs, and the total then is over $7 million. So help me out with these other departments and why we're not adding those to the list.
Well, actually, we are, Representative Wagenius. There's about $1,060,000 in the bill already right now for avian flu, and so that $6,283,000 I mentioned is the difference.
So these other departments would be funded?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, while we're waiting for that amendment, if there aren't any other questions on that, and I'm sorry for it, I'll call you on a minute. I'm sorry for the late notice, but this is a rapidly moving situation, and I guess we weren't thinking that we were going to have to act on the budget resolution today, and then late yesterday we suddenly got this information, and so I appreciate people being understanding and not, requiring us to enforce the two-hour rule here. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just following on Representative Wagenius's question, I'm looking at this list of agencies, and notwithstanding what you just explained about the fiscal issues, in the Health and Human Services Finance Bill, which is coming up on the floor today, there's a 15% cut to the Department of Health. And I understand that's administrative, but I just wonder if you can explain, or if anybody here in the room perhaps can explain how these things interact, because it's great if we're adding funds here to help deal with the avian flu. I think it's quite obvious that this is one of the very important responsibilities our state has, to step in when we've got big issues like this. And our Department of Health, of course, is key to this response. I understand they mainly are involved with the human aspect of health, of course, and but because there is some concern about the human impact of avian flu, and at a time when we're proposing, when the GOP is proposing to cut 15% from administration of the Department of Health, I'm just looking for some information about how these things will intersect.
Well, I guess You know, based on the narrative that we've got from MMB here, as you can see, Representative Liebling, the Department of Health's involvement in this is extremely modest, $142,000 out of the $7,343,000, and it's just basically, as I understand it, for tracking the workers who have been exposed to the infected birds and making sure there's not any sort of human effects, which there haven't been so far. And I guess this is what we got from MMB. This is what they said was the additional money they needed for this. I guess if this is what they said they needed for this particular function, I wouldn't think that the other things that are going on with Health and Human Services would really interact with this. Representative Liebling.
Well, Mr. Chair, I have to assume that MMB is making these calculations based on what's currently going on in the department. Of course, the 15% cut wouldn't go into effect until the next biennium. It's not all that obvious to me that there wouldn't be an impact. I mean, perhaps you're right. Perhaps things are so compartmentalized that they can do this additional work with this little bit of extra money and never mind the 15% cut. But I just wanted to raise that, you know, at a time when we've got big challenges, and they come upon us pretty suddenly at times, as this one has, maybe it's not the smartest time to be imposing 15% across the board cuts on some of our important agencies that have to respond to this work. So I'll be talking more with the department and trying to see if there are ongoing issues there. Thank you.
All right. And please let us know what you find out. Representative Kahn.
Just a general question to the members of the committee. Is there anyone except me who looks at all these programs and has the sense that nobody has any idea of what they're doing or what they should do?
Representative Kahn, when you say looks at all these programs, what do you mean by all these programs?
Just this amount of money that we're putting into this problem and just has the sense that it's like flailing out with absolutely no sense of what should be done or what makes sense to do.
Mr. Speaker.
Well, I think that
I'm not speaking from any level of knowledge. I'm just thinking of that's just the impression I have. Mm-hmm. If everyone has total confidence in what's going on, then just say that. That's fine.
Well, it's a fast-moving crisis, but I think I'd maybe address that to the chair of the Agriculture Committee, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Kahn, thank you for the question or the comment. And my response would be that everybody is taking this extremely seriously, not only the farmers, a shout out to them, but Governor Dayton, Lieutenant Governor Smith, we've met with them. Of course, our leadership in the House, Commissioner Fredrickson, Department of Agriculture, we've met with them multiple times. Mr. Santo Cruz, thank you for taking my texts at 4 a.m. and midnight and whatever else. And I apologize for interrupting the time that you're spending with your children as well. I put in a call to the Department of Health, and within an hour, we had two members from the Department of Health come to the office that I am so proud to occupy, and they shared with us specifically what they are doing to address this as well. The Board of Animal Health, Dr. Hartman and their crew are the most professional individuals that you'll come across, and they are very committed to dealing with this. The U of M, between the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, Dean Brian Boer, Dr. Trevor Ames, Dean Bev Durgan, Dr. Jim Collins, are extremely committed to this as well. We have the Wilmer Minnesota Poultry Testing Laboratory. They're working day and night out there. You have Steve Olson with the Minnesota Turkey Growers and others. You have the esteemed Pomeroy Chair with the College of Veterinary Medicine working on this. You have the National Guard, the USDA. You have 200 employees, both state and federal employees, that are absolutely committed to this. Everybody, including the news crews, it's refreshing to hear how they are also conveying not only the importance, but also that our food supply is safe. You can read through the agency, Commissioner Franz and the Deputy Chief of Staff, Ms. Hardy, have been extremely committed to this. We have brought everybody to the table to come forth with a comprehensive plan to address this crisis. And if you will read through the one pager that were handed out, it does break out every agency and their use of the funds. I am absolutely convinced that the appropriate people are at the table discussing this, and the as far as what the roles are of each individual entity, I believe they are clearly defined. And again, we have all the experts in the room to at the table addressing this, taking it very, very seriously. And I'm absolutely convinced that we're moving forward the way that we need to move forward. And if you take a look at the ag bill that we have before us, we have a provision in there that we'll speak to in a moment as it pertains to not only research but rapid response and others, so that we as a state are not only in a reactionary mode but we are in a proactive mode to address these issues before they become an issue. And so again, we have a very solid agriculture bill, I believe, with the help of Representative Poppy. I see we have Representative Clark Johnson in the audience as well, and various individuals that have all come together to address not only the avian influenza piece, but also the agriculture bill in general. And as soon as we're ready, I'd be more than happy to walk the committee through the bill as well.
Okay. Well, seeing no further discussion, at this point I see that we actually have received the A29 amendment to increase the budget resolution. And so since we've been talking about that and we've got the language before us now, maybe we can deal with that. So, members, I would move the A29 amendment. And for those who I know just got here from Tax Committee and elsewhere and got here a little bit late, what's going on is late yesterday we did receive information from the Department of Management and Budget that they did want an extra $6,283,000 for the avian flu outbreak. We had, as you know, delayed this bill pending more information on the avian flu outbreak and what needs there might be. We finally decided that we needed to get on with it, and then all of a sudden last night got this information. And so while we weren't planning on raising the budget resolution today and had in fact taken it off, I talked to Representative Carlson this morning and asked if he would be okay with us putting the budget resolution back on the agenda so that we could increase the funding for this. Representative Carlson thought that was a fine idea. We don't have the language yet for exactly how we would spend the money, but this bill will have to go to rules next anyway. And so I felt if we at least change the target here, we'd have done what we can do at the moment, and we can add the language at the next stop or later. So with that, I'd again move the A29 amendment with just basically increases funding for the Agriculture Finance Committee by $6,283,000, which is the difference between what MMB wants, the $7,343,000 on the sheet that's been passed out, and the $1,060,000 that's already in the bill for avian flu. So with that, members, is there any other discussion to the A29 amendment? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A29 amendment is adopted. All right, members, let's move on to the bill that is before us. Representative Hamilton moves that House File 1437 be referred to the Rules Committee. And members, as we talked about last week, it's going to Rules because we had delayed the bill pending more information and thus missed the deadline on this bill. Representative Hamilton, do you want to take the author's amendment and such now, or do you want to walk through the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I'll just give just a brief overview of the bill, and then I believe the author's amendment will speak to the various changes, obviously, in the bill.
All right.
The agriculture bill, when it was first brought before us from the governor's recs and Department of Agriculture, their main focus, and I correct me if I'm wrong, their main focus was all about food safety and the need to meet our statutory requirements as it pertains to inspections and licensing and others. That was the main focus. We also took, like I had said in my comments to address Representative Kahn, the need to invest in agriculture education, agriculture research, rapid response. And then there's another provision in there as far as looking to the future of economic contributions to the bio-based industry. And I think at this time, Mr. Chairman, I'll ask Mr. Savory to walk through the amendments. If I could go ahead and move the author amendments. The first one would be the A23 amendment, I believe, Mr. Chairman. If I could move that to get it before us, have Mr. Savory walk us through that, and then answer any questions after that time.
Okay, Representative Hamilton moves the A23 author's amendment. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Savory.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll be walking through the amendment via the spreadsheet that I believe is in your packets. I'll just go over the major highlights and then turn it back to the chair for any additional questions, or I'll stand for questions as well. Looking at the first page of the spreadsheet, if you see line 34 within the Department of Agriculture, is the avian flu response. It's $514,000 occurring in fiscal year 2015. For the avian flu response, as the chair spoke to earlier. You'll flip the page twice to page 3. You'll see the agricultural, bioenergy, and bioproduct advancement piece. This is the technology transfer board on line 95, which includes $5 million in each fiscal year for a total of $10 million in FY16 and 17. Additionally, in line 96, there are dollars for the advanced biofuel grants, which is $380,000 in fiscal year 16 and $1.5 million in fiscal year 17 for a total of $1.83 million. Jumping down quickly to line 109, the bill, as amended, would restore the Agri fund to its previous base of $20.470 million. Additionally, flipping the page to line 122, is an increase in the appropriation for the Center for Rural Policy and Development. That appropriation was $75,000 in each fiscal year, but is now $150,000 each fiscal year. And flipping the page once more, we'll go to the Board of Animal Health, which is on line 161, which allocates $379,000 in fiscal year 15 for the avian flu response. And additionally, in the line above it is line 160, which contains $167,000 for the biennium. This was the governor's item for the operating increase, representing the 1.8%. Jumping down to line 175 and 176 under the AURI area, you'll see that the statutory appropriation for AURI was repealed, and then the same amount of money, the $2 million, was given as a base increase. So there will be no change to the AURI appropriation. It just repeals the statutory appropriation and then replaces it with a direct appropriation of a similar nature.
All right. And then should we move the A24 amendment to the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that as well. And just speaking to the A24 amendment, on the advanced biofuels grants, what this does is it addresses the tails, and so the language will reflect the exact as far as what we have appropriated to that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Any discussion to the A24 amendment to the A23 amendment? Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the issues that has surfaced is the having a board made up of folks who represent various groups spend a ton of money. And I note in here that you changed the language on page 29 and page 30 to recommend to the commissioner and recommend to the commissioner, recommend and the commissioner shall award. But it's that and shall award that these aren't really recommendations. These are, this board can direct the commissioner to spend money. So the question arises again about giving money to a group And one of the reasons I bring this up is because when the higher ed bill went through, the funding for the ag special was flat. And I'm wondering why we didn't fund the ag special rather than funding this and then making it mandatory that the special interest can fund. I just don't get it.
So, Representative Wagenius, before they answer that question, that's really, to me, more of a question of the A23 amendment rather than the A24 amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
If we could, if people don't have any other questions on the A24 amendment to the amendment, which basically conforms the language in the bill to the appropriation, I guess I'd like to just get that out of the way, and then we can have discussion on your point. Is there anyone that's got any discussion to the A24 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A24 amendment to the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A24 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Okay, to Representative Wagenius' point, Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wagenius, when we first set up the board, you're absolutely right. They were voting members. And they would decide how those dollars would be spent. I had concerns brought forward by both Democrats and Republicans. I had a lengthy conversation with an individual who was writing an article for the Star Tribune, and it was a very thoughtful conversation. And what I was saying initially is that we were setting that board up similar to, well, first of all, it was said that it's absolutely unprecedented in how we were setting that up. And the truth of the matter is, no, it isn't, because we have the Arts Board, and it's very similar how they function. However, we did take everybody's recommendations, and we turned this board into an advisory board. Now, why is that important? Is that we're talking about production ag research. That's what we're asking for, production ag research. And so we wanted individuals who have knowledge, expertise, and experience as it pertains to agriculture. We did take into consideration what members of the Agriculture Committee brought forward, and they said they wanted representation from the organic farms, from sustainable agriculture, and statewide environment and natural resource conservation. And so we have, my words, we have a think tank of professionals who will come to the table, who will discuss what the immediate needs are, if you will, and they will be conversing with the University of Minnesota, the Department of Agriculture, and various stakeholders. Why is that important to have these groups at the table? It's extremely important because not only do they know what's going on in their immediate neighborhoods, but they know what's going on all around the world as it pertains to their various businesses. And I just cannot comprehend why we try to, I can't comprehend why a group of individuals, like-minded individuals who come together to advocate on behalf of what is important to them, why that's a negative. Because you have individuals, whether it's large or small, whether it's organic or GMOs, traditional or conventional, individuals who just have an interest in a specific area, why that's a negative, I can't comprehend. For instance, I have individuals that walk through the door of the office in which I occupy who may have traumatic brain injuries or spinal cord injuries that are advocating on things that are important to them. And that's not perceived as a negative. However, if you get a group of individuals who are advocating on something as it pertains to agriculture, now all of a sudden it appears to be something negative, and I can't quite comprehend why that is. All you have is individuals who this is their livelihood. They want to have a voice as well. We took in consideration about having individuals who are unelected being able to decide how millions of dollars are being spent. And I understand the concerns that were being brought forward. I understand. And so we address that in this bill. But in order to take them completely out of the process, I don't understand that. And so the commissioner, as the language reads, the commissioner will have the final say on how these dollars will be spent.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. A couple of things. First of all, the way it's written, the commissioner does not have a final say. It's not an advisory board because the language says, and the commissioner shall award. So the board is directing the commissioner, so it's not an advisory board. It is the decision-making board. But setting that aside, I am still having trouble reconciling going in this direction versus the ag special at the U. That's a separate issue. Are they not doing a good job?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative.
Well, first of all, Representative Wagenius, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, Representative Wagenius, to your first point, is that the commissioner shall award those, and if he does not award those to have that, he's going to lose those dollars. That's all there is to it. They'll fall back to the general fund, and that was put up by design because we want to make sure that these dollars go towards production ag research, rapid response, or agriculture education. And so if he may award it, no. If he does not award it, he's going to lose those dollars. That's all there is to it. And so he will take consideration from the various people that are on the board. To your second point about the Ag Special, that was brought forward. And that was brought forward by the University of Minnesota as well. And we said, absolutely not. Why is that? The Ag Special has been depleted by over $40 million since the turn of the century. That's one. Second piece is that we in agriculture, wanted to make sure that we also had some additional input. And by channeling the dollars through the Department of Agriculture, we felt that we would be taken very, very seriously, that we would have additional folks that can weigh in on this to make sure that the dollars are going to areas that we also know and recognize that is extremely important to agriculture. And so that's why we brought this forward, to bring it through the Ag Bill, send it to the Department of Agriculture versus going through the Higher Ed Bill and lumping it back into the Ag Special.
Representative Wagenius.
The message I'm getting here, and it may not be intentional, that the university is not doing a good job. So if that is the case, then why are we giving them $64 million? I mean, this is the tussle I am having with this bill. Because if it is that the university isn't listening to the ag groups, why isn't this advisory board advising the university? Because that's $64 million versus a smaller amount.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius. It was interesting. When the president of the college, 30 days after President Kaler was appointed to that position, to his credit, he came out to Farm Fest and subsequently met with myself and the late Bob Christensen. And I made the comment at that time that I felt that the University of Minnesota is turning its back on agriculture. And President Kaler at that time said, "You're absolutely wrong. We are committed to agriculture, and I'm going to prove it." To President Kaler's credit, he has been saying the right things, doing the right things. And one of the things that the University of Minnesota has done recently is they appointed Dean Brian Boer to the position on the St. Paul campus. Dean Brian Boer is a fantastic addition, gets it, understands it. With that said, the agriculture group still wanted to make sure that we continue as far as our commitment. It's a land-grant university, and they did want to have additional say in how these dollars are going to be spent as it pertains to production ag research. And so this is why we brought forward as far as the additional dollars and wanted to bring it through the Department of Agriculture so that we had additional say in the whole process versus going through the Higher Ed Bill. We have a tremendous amount of respect for the Department of Agriculture. We have a tremendous amount of respect for the University of Minnesota. And since President Kaler has been appointed to that position, I believe, these are my words, I believe that he continues to address building those relationships between the groups. With that said, we still want to make sure that we have these checks and balances, if you will, as it pertains to the importance of agriculture. And that's why we brought forth this way, so that we can bring the various groups to the table and continue working with the University of Minnesota, with the Department of Agriculture, and all the stakeholders to heighten the awareness of production ag. Production ag, because everybody, and I mean everybody, depends on agriculture. And in the past, whether it's individuals trying to demonize agriculture, whether it's the university or others, whether it was perceived or not, to take dollars and direct them in a way that was going against production ag and losing focus on the importance of an honorable, noble profession. These are concerns that we have had. When I say we, I'm talking about individual farms all across the state, farmers, the various groups and others. And so this is why we wanted to bring it forth this way, channel the dollars through the Department of Agriculture, because we are absolutely convinced that they know and understand the importance of production ag, and it builds another level of credibility. It builds another checks and balances, if you will, and we feel this is a great way that production ag will be heard on how these research dollars will be spent.
Representative Mahoney, then Carlson. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Hamilton. Following a little bit along on Representative Wagenius was speaking to, how does this board come to its recommendations? Is it a vote? Is it a, do they put out 25 recommendations, and if you get 50% plus one, that's the recommendation we're going to go with?
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mahoney, initially it was by vote, and then the majority would rule. Now it is an advisory in nature, and so we ask that the commissioner does take that under advisement. And so it will be a think tank, if you will, individuals bringing forth the areas that are extremely important as it pertains to ag, and then the commissioner will have the final say on how those dollars are, after taking into consideration everything that hears from the board. The commissioner will have the final say.
Representative
Mahoney.
It makes no sense.
I'm kind of confused on the recommendations. I kind of know the vote totals in this particular committee, so I don't want to belabor this, but there are, we have a number of other boards in different areas that have had their share of controversy about how they come to a decision. It's unclear, you've now said kind of a different way of how this board's coming to its decision. That's whatever you're going to do. But just so you understand, any lawyer, any first-year lawyer, with the wording that you've got, the commissioner shall, the commissioner is going to go with the recommendations of the board. Flat out, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. It's a done deal. But there are numerous examples, particularly in the areas that I've worked in, where the advisory committee we've weighed it towards them, but given the commissioner the option with strong objections to override in writing and everything else. They have to explain why they're objecting. So you effectively have cut the commissioner out. Mm-hmm. As I read this bill, and any first year law student would probably be able to argue in a court of law. That's what you want to do. You've got 17 to 10 or whatever it is around here, but don't try and fool us.
Mr. Chairman.
Chair Hamilton.
And Representative Mahoney, that is an absolute unfair statement when you say don't try to fool us. I've been completely transparent in this entire process. Not only did I sit up in front of the Agriculture Committee, and I turned to the groups, and I said, is there anybody that feels like they've been cut out of the process, please come down here first. I've been totally transparent, completely, through this. If anybody wanted to hear a bill heard in committee, they had it heard. And so it has been totally above board, totally transparent. I'm not trying to fool anybody. And I took in consideration, because it was a voting board initially, and I took in consideration what the concerns were from both the Democrats and the Republicans, and we made it an advisory board. And the commissioner is the one that is able to make the decisions on how those dollars will be spent now. That is the intent of the language that we have before us. And so, but to say that I'm trying to fool somebody is absolutely wrong. It is absolutely wrong. We have been totally transparent in this entire process, and I'd invite anybody up to try to discredit me in any way, shape, or form. But that final comment was totally, totally unacceptable.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, you can go on and on and on about how you were transparent. I don't really, I did not go sit through your committee. I don't have any questions about your committee. I'm not questioning the ability or the fairness or the openness or the transparency of your committee. My comment was to your statement in front of this committee saying that the commissioner has final authority. And that's what my comment was. You've said the commissioner has final authority. If you read the bill, the commissioner shall act upon, hand out the money as the board recommend. And you say the commissioner has final authorization. The commissioner does not. The board makes recommendations, and by law, the commissioner is required. You give the commissioner no ability to say that's a bad idea and we really shouldn't do it.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm just saying, Chair Hamilton, that your comment was trying to deflect what the actual intent or the law that you've written here is. You can do faux pas of anger, you can spread your arms, you can call anybody down. I don't really care. I know how the numbers here on this particular committee work, and they should go on.
Mr. Chairman.
Let me just say first, Representative Mahoney, I think at least Representative Hamilton has certainly expressed his intent of what he believes the language says. But Chair Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mahoney, if you'd read on line 30.2, the initial language said the board shall provide grants for. 30.2 of the bill. And in the amendment on line 2.12, page 30, line 2, delete provide and insert recommend. And the commissioner shall award. So the board will make the recommendations, but it's the commissioner who shall award. And if this language is not the intent of bringing this language forward, Mr. Chairman, is to make this board advisory. And if this language does not accomplish that, I am committed to making that very clear. But to say that I'm being misleading or anything is absolutely wrong. And so, once again, Mr. Chairman, you had said that it appears the author's intent is to make this board advisory, and you are spot on. And working with staff, this was the language that was brought forward here. To the best of our knowledge, this accomplishes it. Mr. Chairman, if this language does not accomplish the board being advisory, I'm happy to work with the various individuals in order to do that. We, to the best of our knowledge and our ability, that was what we were trying to accomplish here. And that's why it said it deletes provide and it inserts recommend. So, Mr. Chairman, that's precisely what we were doing.
Representative Mahoney.
Now, Mr. Chair, go ahead.
Yeah. I guess, Representative Mahoney, if there's some alternate language you'd like to bring.
Mr. Chair, I am not bringing an amendment. This is what Representative Hamilton and the Ag Committee comes forward with. I've made my suggestion that there should be some other way. The chair can do what he wants with that suggestion. I understand how the process works, and the chair can do what he wants.
Well, Representative Mahoney, you have suggested that I guess you'd like alternate language, but I haven't heard any specific alternate language, I don't think, from you. I mean, and I understand that this is just before us now. If you have something else, I guess I just invite you to bring it forward to Representative Hamilton, and maybe it can be changed in the next committee. Or if you have something before the end of the committee meeting today, we can talk about that too. It seems like Representative Hamilton is open to suggestions, and if people believe, other than Representative Mahoney, that there are issues here, please talk to Representative Hamilton, and perhaps we can revise it. Representative Carlson, then Wagenius.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a comment, but then I have some other comments. It sounds to me, with the current language, that it's the commissioner is strictly pass-through. And that, I think, probably from the discussion should be looked at as this bill moves forward, because I hear what the intent is, but the language seems to say something different. But I do have a question. One of my concerns when we mentioned the role of the research at the University of Minnesota is that sometimes there's a temptation to ignore the university, if you will, and then your resources are basically spread too thin. And first of all, is there not an advisory board at the University of Minnesota? Maybe Mr. Hamilton or Representative Hamilton knows. I know many of the research specials have advisory boards. Through the years, I have the university budget, and I met with many advocates for the Ag Research Special, and it's been a number of years since I've had that role, but my recollection was there was an advisory board, but I'm not sure. I know there was an advisory board for IT. The Labor Education Center had an advisory board. I could go on down through virtually all the specials. So do they not have an advisory board at the U for Ag?
Mr. Chairman.
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Carlson, first of all, thank you for your thoughtful consideration. As far as we want to get this right, and as far as your thoughtful debate, you are addressing the language and not myself personally. That's greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you. We do have Dean Brian Boer here. I don't know if, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to bring someone from the university to address that specific question.
Well, I guess I, Representative Carlson, would you like to have someone from the university come up?
Well, I think that's part of the discussion here, and I would be interested in knowing if there's an advisory board of some sort for the Ag Research Special. I would say if there's not, there should be, but let's find out if there is or not.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, then let's have the gentleman from the university come forward then. Good morning, sir. Can you state your name for the record and respond to Representative Carlson's question?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Brian Boer. I'm Dean of the College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resource Sciences, Director of the Minnesota Ag Experiment Station at the University of Minnesota. To your question, I apologize. I don't have the language in front of me from the Ag State Special, but it does have a provision that we consult or, you know, in terms of engaging with groups to discuss the appropriation of the Ag State Special. So each year we hold two meetings composed of constituent groups to have a conversation between Minnesota Extension Service, College of Veterinary Medicine participates, and CFAN's deans participate in having conversations about the programming we're doing, what the results of those programming are, suggestions and input on how we might do that programming. It is advisory. We do it partly, the language is in the bill, we also do it as a form of our relationships with the state of Minnesota and constituents that we represent, with our goal to be to provide, you know, high quality research to the challenges facing food, agriculture, and natural resource sciences.
Okay, Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not surprised by that response because going into my question, I assumed that there probably was because of my experience with the research specials. In fact, I've served not on that one, but I've served on at least three or four through the years, some of the advisory boards. Center for Transportation Studies is another one. You know, they've had in some cases, some legislative input as well. Mm-hmm. But that's, so there is one. That was my main question. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, could I ask another question of Chair Hamilton, and that's I'm trying to get a handle on, you know, I hear different terms when we're referring to research, applied research, basic research. Representative Hamilton, you've used the term production research, and I'm just trying to get a handle on what the difference is here. Yeah. And maybe the dean would be a good one to answer that. Quite honestly, the term production research is a new term for me, and I'm thinking it seems to apply or would fall into the area of applied research, but I'm not sure.
Dean Boer, do you want to take that?
Mr. Chair, Representative, we work, when I look at production research, we view it as productivity research. this notion that how do we advance productivity around agricultural resources. And the element that comes into is we're looking at extensively how do we increase that productivity to reduce the footprints we have in natural resources, one of the goals of our research in general. We work across a broad spectrum of issues related to pest disease issues, to soil water quality issues, to crop yields, to animal health, animal nutrition, animal reproduction. So we do quite a lot, you know, as our college, we work across that entire spectrum, and what we're seeing is more and more engagement across those groups to advance productivity.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, that sounds an awful lot like applied research to me, but, you know, I'm not a researcher, so maybe there is a difference there between applied research and research, but applied research, I perceive, is where you take some of that research, basic research, and that's part of the role of extension, and you get that out into the field, if you will. I would assume one of the goals would be to increase production and do other things, perhaps what good farming methods might be as well, you know, that might be a little different than production. But at any rate, I was just curious that production research was a new term for me, at least. So I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you. Mr. Chair, this brings up another issue that I've been thinking about. All the money we have put in for rapid response is rapid response, and I don't regret those dollars at all. But I have been thinking about the prevention side of the avian flu. And one of the things that just strikes me as a non-agriculture person, at least in agriculture research, is that we have the turkeys are being hit particularly hard, harder than chickens, and that there are other fowl that aren't struck at all. So are we having a breeding problem here, that the genetics of the turkeys make them particularly susceptible? And if that is the issue, are we putting money in to work on that problem?
Is there not a street?
Dean Burr or Chair Hamilton, who wants to answer that?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Representative Genius. You know, it's one of those cases I'm not an expert in. I'm an economist as well. And so, but we do look at, of course, broadly, in a broad sense. We're looking at poultry nutrition. We do research in poultry reproduction. We do, you know, research in poultry physiology, for example. And so we work broadly across that area and looking at, you know, how do we improve the performance and productivity of poultry more broadly. That specific question, I don't know that we have specific research projects going on there off the top of my head.
Excuse me, Representative Wagenius.
Well, it does seem that this is a genetics question, and and just given the problem we have, I'm surprised we don't have dollars specifically directed to the U for that the broad question of why turkeys are particularly susceptible. So that was my...
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, if we get this bill passed, we just may.
Representative Wagenius.
And we may not. The IMAX, I was looking at specifics.
I'm wondering if I can recognize Mr. Sullivan. He has a little bit of language that might address the question that came up earlier. Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair and members, a possible change to the A23 amendment to reflect Representative Hamilton's intent, that would be on page 2, line 24, before award, insert determine and. So the line would read, the board shall recommend and the commissioner shall determine and award grants for the following purposes. Another potential change in the bill itself is to rename the board as an advisory board, so that's explicit. That would require two changes on page 29 of the bill. Those could potentially be incorporated into the amendment as well.
Chair Hamilton, were you able to hear that?
Mr. Chairman, I did, and I would accept that as a friendly amendment as an author oral amendment or whatever motion you would like me to make, Mr. Chairman, because, again, that is our intent.
Okay. Well, let's... I think we can probably incorporate that. Mr. Sullivan, can you give us again the specific amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, the amendment is to the A23 amendment that's on page 2, line 24. Before award, insert, determine, and. And then if members want to make the changes to the bill as well, those are on page 29. On line 5, before the word board, insert advisory. And then a corresponding change on page 29, line 7, before the word board, insert advisory. So the board would be renamed the Agriculture Research, Education, Extension, and Technology Transfer Advisory Board.
All right. Let me just ask. So Representative Hamilton's okay with that. I guess Representative Wagenius.
I'm not in the position of fixing your bill. I'm not going to make this as a recommendation, but if you wanted to be clear, you'd use the words determine whether.
Determine whether and award?
Whether to award.
I guess, Mr. Sullivan, I guess I'd ask you about what you think the best language is.
Mr. Chair and members, that language then would read that the board shall recommend and the commissioner shall determine whether to award grants. Just find the language here. Whether to award grants for agriculture research, agriculture rapid response, agriculture education. I guess that the addition of whether gives the commissioner discretion or explicit discretion not to make any awards potentially.
Okay.
Completely disregard the board's recommendations. I don't know that, I think maybe with the word determine, that's also an option available to the commissioner. So maybe it's clarifying language.
Well, I'm sorry, Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would speak against adding the word weather and defining that differently, because I think the intent then would be taken away, because you're trying to use it for these purposes, and if you... I think that the way it stands currently is been thought through, has been discussed, has been crafted in a way that meets many people's agreement. And I think trying to further define it, clarify it, or otherwise adjust it is leading to less clarity and more confusion. And I just would suggest, if Representative Hamilton is in agreement with the original Sullivan suggestions, then I think that is the way for us to go.
Okay. Thank well, Representative Mr. Hamilton, I guess, are you in agreement with the original recommendation of Mr. Sullivan, or would you like to take the added recommendation of Representative Wagenius?
Mr. Chairman, yes to Mr. Sullivan, no to Representative Wagenius.
All right. Okay. Well, Representative Hamilton then incorporates that language into the A23 amendment, which would be on page 2 of the A23 amendment, line 24, after the word shall, add determine and then I guess in addition, as was stated in the bill, page 29, line 5, before the word board, insert advisory, page 29, line 7, before the word board, insert advisory. So I think we can incorporate that into the amendment. And I guess I hope that addresses some of the concerns, at least, that some of the people had in terms of making the language a bit clearer that this is advisory. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just accolades to Representative Hamilton for all your work in bringing together a very strong and qualified consortium that's of people throughout Minnesota that are dedicated to solving this problem. Mr. Chair, we need to get moving. Let's have the question.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A23 amendment as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion prevails. The A23 amendment as amended is adopted. All right, Representative Hamilton, to the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions. I ask for your support. Well, first of all, yeah, you know what? I ask for your support. I want to thank Representative Poppy. Again, I'll recognize Representative Clark. The entire committee, the Agriculture Committee, Democrats, Republicans, we had metro members, rural members. We all came together. We have some great things in here as it pertains to rural Minnesota, as it pertains to the cities. And again, we were completely inclusive. Made that very, very clear. Agriculture has always been, typically has been bipartisan, if not nonpartisan. We simply want to do the right thing. We impact the lives of everybody every single day. I ask for your support, Mr. Chairman.
Other discussion to the bill. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the issues out there for folks who do organic milk production, which is a big deal in Minnesota and Wisconsin. One of their issues is they're not getting enough organic soy and enough organic corn. How does your bill help them out?
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you know, Representative Wagenius, that's the great part about the ag research piece that is in the bill, because this addresses the productivity measure. And so when you're talking about organic, that is a method on how to raise the crops or the livestock or whatever the case may be. And so the research component in here does not exclude anybody as it pertains to agriculture. Again, you're talking about a specific method, and so this research is available for everybody. It is public information, and again, you're speaking to the production method specifically, and there's a tremendous amount of work as it pertains to the organics, because that's a big and growing market. And so, again, with the markets that are available, people are recognizing that as well. And so the organic piece, they do have in this particular bill, working with a number of representatives, we had made changes to the board and others to make sure that those voices are heard as well.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, just to follow up on that, if that is... If that research or that help or whatever comes from this new board, I'm not very hopeful, because there's one person representing sustainable agriculture out of many, many people who have had a history of not supporting sustainable agriculture, organic agriculture. So that is one of the, which brings me back to the question that Representative Mahoney initially raised. If people aren't voting on this board, and you've said they're not voting, how do they come up with recommendations?
Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, as the former chair of the Agriculture Finance Committee, you would probably recall that there are a number of dollars that go specifically into the organic component of that already. And so whether it's through specific language in the ag special or others, And so I know you said at 9:22 today that you're a non-ag person. However, you did chair the Agriculture Finance Committee last year. And so I would just like to direct your attention to some of the language that's already on the books as it pertains to organics.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, I said non-ag when it comes to genetic engineering. That is true. But I think you've actually answered the question that we still have, even with what is going on in the budget we had 2 years ago, it still isn't working to help milk producers who are doing organic milk because there's not enough organic corn and soy out there. So what's going on now isn't working, and I am acknowledging it isn't working, and we need to do better. And just to say we're going to do more of what we've done, what we did 2 years ago, doesn't answer the question. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll leave that topic alone. I have one more topic I'd like to bring up, but others may want to speak first.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to recognize Representative Hornstein. He's been waiting a while.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hamilton, for your comments about how we're all involved in agriculture. It reminded me of former Texas Commissioner of Agriculture's Jim Hightower's comment that if you eat, you're involved in agriculture. I always feel like some of us are more involved than others. But I have a question for you, and a concern and a question on page 31, line 14. This is section 32, Advanced Biofuel Production Incentive. And on line 14, you talk about solid waste. And I just wanted to make sure that is this not traditional garbage incineration, is it? Or is this, I've never seen solid waste in biofuels juxtaposed. And I don't want to get into a whole discussion or technical discussion about this, Mr. Chair. We can talk offline about it. But I wanted to just, get a little bit of perspective on this.
Chair Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hornstein, to the answer to your question, the short answer is no, it is not. And this is one section that I would like to say that extremely proud of. We worked with all the stakeholders, and we came to some agreements as it pertains to perennials and other things. And incorporated that language in here. There's incentives for perennials. There's also a very, very aggressive percentage to increase as well. And so the groups came together, environmental groups, et cetera. But to your specific question, the answer would be no.
Okay. And I support, we've talked a lot over the years about switchgrasses and other things, and I know there's a facility, I think, in Benson that is involved with that. So, I also agree that that's great. And as we're moving away from, traditional biomass, and again, we'll talk more about the solid waste, but I just wanted to make sure on the record that we weren't talking about the traditional incineration here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Other discussion to the bill as amended? Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. When you introduced the bill, you said that the primary issue here is food safety. And I think we have another primary issue, and that's water safety. That is drinking water safety. And I trust you read the article from Tony Kennedy in the Star Tribune a couple of days ago where we're having more and more wells, drinking water wells in Minnesota with nitrate levels that are above the drinking water standard. And so is there anything in your bill that addresses that issue?
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Wagenius, one of the things that many of us do is we fail to recognize all the great accomplishments that agriculture has done to date. With that said, we continue to look for improved ways and methods to address these various issues. That's an ongoing basis. But again, what we failed to do is recognize whether it's the reduction in phosphorus, the reduction in TMDLs, reduction in a number of things, that because of agriculture practices, whether it's precision ag, et cetera, continues to make great advancements. With that said, we also work, and there's a number of things taking place currently, whether it's in Representative McNamara's bill, some of the others, some of the initiatives through the Department of Agriculture. We do have one of the commissioners here that can speak to some of the great work that they have done with the best management practices as it pertains to agriculture. So to answer your question, the direct answer would be yes.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to note that this bill has been crafted with a lot of responsiveness on behalf of Representative Hamilton. I think that certainly he has listened to a number of concerns that have been raised. The bill left our committee not with full bipartisan support, but I think he's inching maybe by yards, making his way closer to a stronger bipartisan bill. And I think that you know, again, agriculture is an area where we all have a stake in it because we eat, because we wear clothing, because we put fuel in our car, and because for so many reasons. And it's important for us to recognize that, especially with this serious disease right now and the avian flu, how tremendously impactful just something like that can be. It's a wildfire going through our state and through with turkey producers. And one issue that Representative Hamilton and I have spoken about is just about the emotional side of things. And I think that we need to continue to keep that in mind. So we're trying to do what we can financially here today, but I think emotionally as well. We've got a number of farmers that are going through some serious difficult times, and we're going to have to be there to be able to help support them as much as possible emotionally, because this is not just a once and out and, you know, and trying to move on from here. It's going to be lingering, and that impacts all of us as well. So I appreciate that Representative Hamilton has listened to concerns, has done his best to craft a bill that will have significant bipartisan support. And I look forward to any further discussion on what we can do with regards to mental health counseling and emotional support as well for our farmers and producers. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Hamilton renews his motion that House Bill 1437, as amended, be referred to the Rules Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 1437, as amended, is referred to the Rules Committee. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, before we break, you and I, with the education bill, had a discussion about what was left on the bottom line. So I want to make sure now I'm looking at the budget target handout that we had this morning. And with our earlier action, that's $6,283,000, then that will be put in the bill, probably either on the floor or in rules. But just so we have agreement, maybe between you and Mr. Marks, what is left after that $6,283,000 is included in the ag bill on the bottom line?
Well, like I said, refer to Mr. Marks. Maybe he can give us those numbers.
Because you and I had
$5 million apart, and I'm still not exactly sure where that was. Of course, I was on the floor, and I didn't have a spreadsheet, and I was just trying to do some mental calculations. But now that we have Mr. Marks on the spreadsheet here, I guess, Mr. Marks, can you give us an updated number?
Mr. Chair, members, there would be the on the spreadsheet that $35,222,000 that shows on the balance. Then if you go up to the other bills category, which shows $19,953, you need to subtract $14,953 from that for the already enacted deficiency bill. And then also $893,000 from that, that's the bill on the prohibition on electronic gaming that was passed out of Ways and Means back in February. And that has a revenue loss of $893,000 associated with that. So that would leave, I'm sorry, I got the wrong number there. That would leave $4,107, and the other thing I'd point out is I'm aware of the claims bill has a cost of $17,000, I believe. So it would be the $35,222 on the bottom line plus $4,000 in the other bills category yet for here, and then whichever other bills you want to talk about.
Are we saying
million.
I assumed you meant million because the other day I was using on the House floor $4 million, so I wasn't too far off when I because those are from notes that I had, I think, when I raised this question before. So that's $4,107,000 remains in the other bills category, and then the $35,222 becomes what?
The $35,222 is the correct number.
Oh, that is the correct number
on the bottom line. Plus, plus, I mean, it's basically $35,222 plus the $4,000 that are still available. The $4,000 could be spent under the current budget resolution in order to spend the $35 million. Sorry, wrong numbers again. In order to spend the $35 million, the budget resolution would have to be amended because the total spending number of the $42,810 million doesn't allow spending of that at this point. The budget resolution would have to be amended again in order to spend any of the $35 million. Any of the $4 million could be spent currently without an amendment to the budget.
Understand
resolution.
That. That's why it's important to know what that number is. So that number 35,222 then has already subtracted out the $6,283,000.
Mr. Marks,
so we're
correct.
Clear on that.
That's
now,
correct.
Okay, the other couple of questions I had, being that we're down to the last 3 weeks, you mentioned on the floor a flood bill.
Yes, Representative Carlson. Representative Albright has a flood-related bill with some cost to it that there is still, I think, a strong possibility will be coming forward.
And is there a ballpark number attached to that, just so we kind of know what's...
Sure. It's about $23
million. $23 million. Okay. And what flood are we talking about there?
Maybe I can recognize Representative Albright on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Carlson, the flood relief bill that you've been discussing with the Chair is relevant to the rain event that occurred in June of last year that affected 36 counties. And so it's widespread, and it's gone through a very stringent vetting with a number of the state agencies to make sure that the numbers that are included in it are exacting and that the money is appropriated properly.
Okay, so that's the whole
yes, sir.
All counties that were impacted with the $23 million. Well, where is that bill then, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, the final DE with the numbers coming in from the various agencies was delivered to us about 2 weeks ago. It had its first committee hearing in the Senate, and we will be hearing it in public safety as well as environment next week, I believe.
Yes. Public safety and environment. Okay, so that
in the essence, Mr. Chair, in the essence of time, what we've done is we've actually cloned a part of the bill so that we can be most efficient with the days remaining. So part of it, from a rules perspective, and other is going through the environment, and the other function of it is going through public safety.
Okay, I understand that procedure well. I had.
We
a labor bill last time I did that with, only it was more than two. Okay, the other question I asked was about LCCMR.
Yes.
And you indicated last week, Mr. Chairman, that sometime this week we would probably be taking up LCCMR. And any further information on that?
No further information on it, Representative Carlson, but that was one thing I was going to bring up, is that we will be having another meeting sometime later this week, I would guess Thursday or Friday. I'm expecting we do the LCCMR bill. There's a few other smaller bills that are in the committee, too, that we need to act on, and I'll give you more information when we have a date, you know, with the session schedule the way it is. We've got a couple long days ahead of us, but we do have some other bills we need to act on, and that's one of them.
Okay, so it's still scheduled potentially for this week then?
Yeah, I would anticipate we'll do it either Thursday or Friday. And, you know, I was looking at, you know, just going over things with Mr. Marks here. I think the discrepancy, Representative Carlson, between what you and I had in terms of numbers was that we had added back about $5 million or $6 million from the tax committee target, that they had originally been given a one target and that they didn't quite spend it all. And in the last meeting, I think it was about $5.7 million, we added that back. So I think that's the discrepancy why the number you had was higher than mine, and I believe was the correct number.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we are adjourned.